What's for dinner? What's for dinner? What's for dinner? Talking about what's ever on their minds. Talking about what's ever on their minds. Talking about what's ever on their minds.
I love that song.
Isn't that neat?
It's been in my head since I listened to your first podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's the whole point. It's like herpes. It's a mental herpes thing. It gets in there.
Wow.
And then yeah.
All right. I'll go with that.
Yeah. No. I was
going to go with catchy, but you want to go herpes?
I want to go herpes.
Better. Okay. Let's go herpes.
How do you get herpes? You catch it.
You catch it. There you go. See?
Exactly.
Always a step ahead.
It's always going around. How you been, man?
I'm good.
Good.
I'm doing very good, man.
Good. Very cool.
Excellent. Just came from the gym. Did the right thing today.
Are you working out now?
Yeah.
Good for you.
I've been working out. You know what, though? I took 2 weeks off just recently because I was in Chicago with my kids.
Okay.
And so I didn't work out.
You don't work out in Chicago?
Not when I have the kids, because I have them 24 hours a day, and I don't want to drop them into a daycare. You know what I mean?
Totally makes sense.
Seems silly to me. Plus, yeah. I only get 2 weeks with them. Why would I spend 4 hours a day in the gym?
That's true.
4 hours. Like, I work out 4 hours. That's ridiculous. Yeah, that's where I eat my follow flip. If it's not 4 hours, it ain't nothing.
I know what you mean, dude. Like, I watch 4 hours like Family Guy. And that's a fucking workout.
It's exhausting.
I'm trying to get I'm trying to motivate myself to try to get into some kind of shape.
You got to do it, man. You're getting you're way younger than me. Where are you at? 36, 37?
About there, yeah.
Okay. Okay, about there. All right, we'll go ballpark.
Yeah.
That's fine, fair enough. You got it, man. You get over 40, stuff starts breaking down and hurting.
It's already starting to, man. I've had to go to physical therapy for my knees.
See? That stuff happens. I go to see the doctor now. I got a problem with my shoulders all messed up. And I saw him about a month ago. My shoulders all messed up. When I raised my arm, it hurts. And, you know, he knows I'm a comic, so he's always messing with me. I go, raise my arm, it hurts you. So what's he say? Don't raise your arm.
It's
very funny. I go, well, is this just like old man stuff, or is it something? It's probably just old man stuff. Don't worry about it. I'm like, oh, all right, that's fine. I'm just falling apart.
It sucks.
It does. And you know what? You want a tip? Not that, look at me sitting here with my gut hanging over it, and yeah. I'm giving you a tip. Here's the tip. I started working my core about 5 years ago, and that has changed my life. I used to have back problems. I used to have constant pain, and I used to get sore backs or throw out my back. I used to throw out my back like once every few weeks. I haven't done that in years, and it's because I work my core.
And that's, so you do the sit-ups and everything?
Yeah, you do. There's a lot of different, I get all those men's health books and stuff. You do a lot of different.
Is it working?
Planking. You know what planking is?
Yeah.
You do planking. There's like seven different variations of that.
Well, I thought planking was like that weird just fad that kids were doing for me.
No, yeah, but it's a great workout for your core. But the thing is, you hold it for 45 to 60 seconds. And it's not as easy as it sounds.
You actually like suspend yourself between two kind of points?
Yeah, like, or you know what you can do is you can do like, you do a push-up? Mm-hmm. Instead of being on your palms, be on your elbows, have your forearm on the ground. So you're kind of like this on the ground.
Oh,
and then just keep your body straight for 30 seconds. And you do that once, twice, three times, and then you do it a couple times with one leg off the ground, and then you do it with the other leg off the ground, and then you do it, you flip over on your, another way to do it, kind of do it, is do it on your back and elevate your hips up so that your body's straight and hold that for 30 seconds.
Wow.
And then another one, and then kick your leg out for that. That's really hard.
Is there any kind of really good core exercise that you can associate with masturbation? Because I do that feverishly.
I think the first, the one when you're on your back, you could probably get away with, but only if you're on both legs.
Ah.
You couldn't elevate a leg. I don't think I can masturbate with one leg in the air and just laying on. I could do it probably laying on my back with the elevated plank that way. Because you know what? I have. I'll be honest with you. There's been certain porns where things just gotten out of hand, and you know.
Of course.
You know what I mean? It's, yeah. You know what I'm saying.
So that would be, that'd be spanking and plinking.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Da-da. Look at that thing. We'll be back.
Okay. Good seeing you, man. So you're in Chicago seeing the kids and everything?
Yeah, I did. I played Zanies for a week.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I did that.
Cherry Hill or downtown?
I did downtown. You know what? I got to be honest with you. I've been working for them for 15, 17 years maybe. And they've always been really, really good to me. And when I told them my kids moved back there, I used to go back there once a year for like 3 weeks in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went back, I told him, my kids moved back there. So can we spread them out? He gave me a week in the summer. And he gave me a week before Christmas and a week after Christmas.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was like, it was just the night. It was really nice. And I told him, I was like, dude, that was really nice. Yeah, I really appreciate that, you know. Because he's got a lot of guys wanting to come through there.
Oh, yeah.
And a ton of guys that want to come home for the holidays, you know, that would love to come home around Christmas time. You know, and so
he's got you closed in the room?
Yeah, I do. Great, yeah, man. I've been closing for him for about 15 years.
That's not Dorfman out there, is it?
No, Dorfman's the one down in, in Nashville. And then Andy owns the places out in Florida. Which, are they still there?
I know the improvs are still there. I think he's got
a piece
of those.
What was Uncle Funny's?
Oh, well, that's where I started, man. That was my home club.
Wasn't that an Andy Dorfman's club?
Yeah, but that closed around 2004, I think.
I don't know where he ended up. I know that he had a piece.
I think it's in Nashville now.
Okay, it could be, because his brother ran Nashville, mm-hmm. and his brother's got a great reputation.
Yeah, Brian's a good guy.
Right. And then Andy had a piece of Vernon Hills, I think.
Right.
And Vernon Hills closed.
Did it?
A couple of years ago, yeah.
So is there only one Zanies now?
There's three now. There's downtown, there's St. Charles, which I do a lot. This is actually right by where my kids live now. And there's a new one in Rosemont. They built this whole new little mall in Rosemont, which is just, it's awesome. It's like, during the winter, they have an ice rink in the middle. And it's surrounded by all these bars. It's got a big country star. It's got a bar there.
Oh, is that what's his name? Does he have one in Vegas?
Toby Keith.
Toby Keith.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, Toby Keith.
He's got one in Vegas, too.
All right, well, he's got his place there. There's a Mexican place. There's this German brew house, which we went to for dinner last time we were there, which is phenomenal. And then Zanies is right there. And they're new. They've kind of got a new format for the way their clubs are laid out. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful room. It's like a mini theater, but still feels like a club. You know what I mean? It was really cool the way they set it up. So I've already played there a couple of times.
Is it hot or is it me in here right now?
Well, I got the fan blowing on me, so
look
good.
At you. All right.
People get hot usually when I walk in a room, I'll be honest with you.
I could see why. It's your core.
It's the 4 hours of gym work.
That's cool, man. So good. So you're working a lot, and you're doing a lot of road, or you're just...
I was doing a lot of cruise ships, man. I was doing those.
Oh, that's right. How's that?
It's going. It's pretty. It's good. You know what? I was doing, when my kids moved back to Chicago, I opened up my schedule and said I can go whenever.
So you already had like a cruise person that was...
Yeah, I have a cruise agent. Been doing them about 3.5 years now, I think. Three and a half years. And it's mainly just Carnival is the main one I work for right now.
Yeah, they're the one that a lot of the guys that I know work for.
Yeah, and I was getting, they book by the quarter now. They change the way they book all the time. So it's a good gig. I love the gig a lot. The thing is, you need a lot of stuff. Like, I do 5 different 30-minute shows on those ships.
So you have 2.5 hours of different material?
2.5 hours, of material that I'm proud of. Like, I'm serious, because you get to the point where you're doing a lot of material. You ever remember years ago, like a long time ago, when you had to fill 45 minutes, and you had to fill 30, and you had to kill, you're doing 5 minutes of stuff that you're like, God, I hate this bit, but I told him I could do 30, so I gotta do the 30. You know what I mean? And when I first started doing cruise ships, it was like, they tell you do 30 clean and 30 adult. And I did that, but after a while, you realize people come to see you again. And they go, well, just repeat your show again. Repeat your clean show twice and your adult show three times. So you do 5 total shows. And after a while, I go, I can't repeat this show 3 times. It's ridiculous. I go, these people are coming to see me. So I was easy. I easily got up to 2 adult shows and one G show. And then it took me a while to get to 3 adult shows. And then what I did with the family shows is I teach, like I had taught comedy at my daughter's school. I taught improv and stand up, and I did it with a bunch of kids from the school. And at the end, we would do a show at the end of this 8-week class.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I've been working with kids for years. So when I do the clean family shows during the summer, especially, and there's kids on the cruise, a big portion of it is improv and comedy with the kids. You know, I get them on stage and get them to perform and get them, and basically I'm the butt of their jokes, and they get to do whatever they want. It's a lot of fun, So the family shows were easy to fill. I was worried about going on the ship about being clean for 30 minutes. I was like, oh man, I gotta be clean for 30 minutes.
It feels like such a struggle for a lot of the club, for me too, to do like 2 different so essentially an hour clean. Like when you say clean, obviously no profanity, no sexual talk.
Nope. No swearing. No, you really shouldn't. It's got to be appropriate material. I mean, they tell you to compare it to TV clean or late night TV, and that's comparable, but there's still stuff that you can get complaints from, because you'll get people that are kids at those family shows, and there are elder people at those family shows, and they just want to see clean, no swearing stand-up. And I have people that come up to me, and the way I do the family shows, I do 15 minutes straight stand-up, clean, and then I do 15 minutes improv. And I do it that way because certain people who are older, they really just want to see stand-up, but they don't want to see any swearing. there's a lot of people that are really into that. So I didn't want to rob them of that. So the way I kind of split it up, and they actually dig it. They like it because they get to see the stand-up. And then whenever I bring the kids up to do improv, I usually bring the kids up that I've talked to already throughout my act, so they already know who they are. And every time people come after the show and they're like, thank you for being so clean for 30 minutes. I really appreciate it. I'm like, oh, no problem. That was, you know, it's my job, really, basically.
Did you ever want to just say, you fuck?
No, I'm totally, but you know what? They always go, we're thinking about coming into the adult show. Is it a lot more racier? I go, it's much more, yes. I go, you would not, don't come to the adult show.
So essentially, then, if you do 15, stand-up 15 improv, so you basically had a half-hour clean that you broke up between two shows.
Yeah, basically. But, like, the way I always do the five shows is I do one show, and then I go back to my room and reassess what I've used. So that every show changes throughout the cruises. So every, you know what I mean? So, like, sometimes, because I'll be on stage and something will happen, I'll go off into a tangent and kill a bit that I was going to do in the third show. And then I go back and go, all right, well, I dropped that, but I didn't do this, so let's move this here, and I can move this over here. And
That's fun to do.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. So in between every show, I'm constantly in my little cabin, you know, moving notes. I got notes everywhere and, you know, bouncing lines around and moving stuff around. So it's a lot of fun, and it's made me really in touch with my material, like crazy in touch with my material. You know what it is when you're on the road and you're working a lot, and you know your jokes, and your timing is down. I'm so in touch with all of my jokes when I'm in the middle of, like, a four-week run on a cruise. It's just, I know everything.
You do 4 weeks straight?
Sometimes I will. Not much now. Not much lately, man. I did a lot in July. I was gone for 3 weeks. They called me in Belize on the way home and asked me to cover another ship. That's happened a few times. But I actually had to fly back. I was bummed. I was like, I could have flown from Belize to Miami and spent the night there. They're like, we'll just put you in Miami. Because when I travel, I always carry a bag. You just carry one carry-on bag. And it's enough for 3 days. And then 3 days, I wash my clothes. So I'm set for a week. You know what I mean? And so no matter what happens in the middle of the cruise, they'll call me. They go, when you're done, can you just shoot over to New Orleans? Yes. And you just go. So I don't have to even worry about going home. You know, and now that, you know, and I'm divorced and I don't have the kids or anything of that, I just go. I go wherever they, you know, where they ask, you know. The only time, the thing was, the last trip, I had to fly back to L.A. because it was after 2 weeks. I had to get back to L.A. during a weekday to pay some bills and take care of some stuff. Mm-hmm. And I had to. And then flew all the way back to Belize the next day or the next night. So I was only home for like 18 hours.
God damn, man.
Yeah, but I like that, though. I got really used to that bouncing around thing. There's two disadvantages to cruises, man. There's just two. And one is, I was always gone and away from my kids, you know, who live in Chicago now, so it's not that big of a deal. I fly out and see them once a month. But the other is, you're not in L.A., so you can't audition. You know, sometimes you can. I've taped stuff on ships and sent it back plenty of times, but you're missing out on a lot of auditions. And, you know, and my TV work has gone down in the last 2 or 3 years because of the amount of cruise ships I've been doing.
That's what I hear, like, from a lot of comics. I go, you know, it's fun, but it can be a trap because the money is so good and it's so often but you're gone for so long.
Right. And the other thing is, with the ships, there's a cap. You know what I mean? You're only going to make so much money on a ship. Mm-hmm. You know, they're never going to go double your money. Whereas, suppose if you're here and you book a TV series regular thing or a network series regular, and you're getting that money, suddenly you're making TV, that crazy, stupid TV money we've been chasing for the last, whatever, 25 years or whatever it is, or movies or anything else. And then one movie leads to another movie. You know what I mean? You build a TV career and suddenly you're making, you know, you got residual checks because there's no residuals with cruises. You know, once they're done, they're gone.
I've heard different stories from comics. What about merch? Do you sell any merch?
They're not. I haven't yet, but I think I'm going to on this next run. There was a thing where they weren't doing it, and some guys were doing it, and then it was a gray area where it has to be approved by the cruise director and the comedy club manager. And if they're cool with it, then you can sell merch. I think that's the way it goes now.
Yeah, that's what I heard too. But you don't have you have a CD, right?
Yeah, I have. Well, I have three, but Carnival, they had told us they wanted us to sell a clean CD, so I taped a clean 30-minute show on the ship, and I have, like, you know, I have a digital recorder for tonight's show or for any other show I take. I record, so I pull sound bites off of that, and I take the clean stuff and put it into a track, and I'm burning now a full 45-minute to 60-minute clean CD to sell it just specifically on the ships.
You should call it Lenny No Schmidt.
I've been trying to think of what to call it. I was going to call it, like, Let's Clean It Up or Clean It Up.
I like No Schmidt.
I like No Schmidt, too. I'm going to have to go with that, I think.
You heard it first, folks.
And now that means I got to give you a percentage of my income on the
CDs. My gift to you.
Oh, all
my
right.
Gift to
this is recorded,
you.
Right? This is recorded.
This is recorded.
Sweet.
I actually tried. Like, I was it 2 years ago? It was probably actually 3 years ago. In November, I did the Boston Comedy Festival.
Yeah.
And this cruise agent picked me up from that, and I was with her for 2 years, not one booking.
Really?
She could not. She's just like, oh, the person I know, they're not there for a couple of months, and oh, they're doing some change. And after like two, and then a buddy of mine in Miami, who's now booking cruises, he's like, you know what? I'll put you on the ship. So I left this woman, went with him. They haven't done shit for me either.
It's a tough time, man. About 3.5 years ago, I only worked for Carnival. I haven't been able to get in with any other cruises. Here's why it's a tough gig. Because these guys have been doing these gigs for 20, 30 years.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, when I got on the ships, I saw comics I worked with when I started out 25, 26 years ago that I hadn't seen in 25 years.
Like who?
Percy Cruz, too, out of St. Louis. He was a guy, when I worked in Midwest, I saw him a ton. And he was one guy that I was like, I always wonder what happened to him. And when I got on the cruises, he'd been doing cruises solid for 25 years.
Wow.
And these guys do the cruises, they do them constantly. Every week they're on a cruise. They go home maybe every once in a great while. I mean, it was last year I was doing about 6 weeks a quarter, roughly 6 weeks to 8 weeks a quarter. Now I'm down to two.
Oh, and, really?
Yeah, but some of these other guys are working 12, 14 weeks a quarter.
Jesus.
You know, and that's what they've been doing their whole lives. So, and when Carnival came in, and they've done a shakedown a couple of times where they dropped guys just to bring in new blood. And I feel horrible for any guy that gets dropped, especially some of these guys that, you know, I mean, first of all, it's the entertainment business. There's no security in that. You know that. You know what I mean? It's like there's no pension and no seniority. It doesn't mean anything. And, you know, it means nothing. So when they cut these guys loose, that's it. They're done. You know, if they don't have money in savings and retirement set up, they're screwed.
God, that's fucked up.
That's all I think about. I think what a nightmare that would be. So I feel bad for.
Well, you can't worry. But, like, lately, it's funny. I was telling you, like, about last night, Allison and I had, like, this big kind of a. Tiff,
brouhaha.
If you will. Brouhaha. Well, there was not a lot of ha-ha. A hell of a lot of brew.
Okay.
But you know what it comes down to? I don't know if it's inherent as a comic or as a Jew, but I worry about so much shit that has never happened. I worry about what could be, as opposed to looking at what is and just going, no, it's not bad. And no. I drive myself fucking crazy.
That's a human thing, though.
Allison isn't that, unless she's superhuman. She doesn't. She. If something happens, she'll start to worry.
Right.
But if without getting into detail, we recently got into this venture that over a period. Let's just say we bought a car together. It's comparable to that.
Okay.
And last night I just couldn't sleep.
Comparable to that. Okay. This could you be more vague about this whole situation?
We invested in a racing horse.
That's great.
And today was like. We had kind of an out clause that expired today. So last night I was, and she's all in to this idea, this thing that we're putting money into.
Right.
And I was just worrying, and I was like, it was like 3:30 in the morning last night. And it was 2:30, and I'm just tossing and turning. She's out here playing Xbox, ironically. And I come out and I go, honey, I don't think we should do this. And she's like, why? And I realized it was because it was making this worry up in my head. And she literally smacked me. I mean, not literally, but emotionally and just mentally smacked me across the face going, you're a fucking idiot and you're driving me crazy.
Yeah, what do you think? It's a horse. Everybody buys a horse. It's brilliant. All you need is some hay and he runs. Come on, Flip!
That's essentially what she said. I kind of woke up and I'm like, you know what? She's right. I'm worrying about nothing. And just going back to what you're initially saying, like these guys that start freaking out, I don't know if it's just a comic thing that we're inherently just stressing about shit. Like I stress about bookings next year I don't really have anything in the first quarter and I'm like, oh my God, but I got plenty coming up in this, we're only in August, got plenty of time to book the next year, but I'm already thinking about March going, I got nothing.
Right, right.
It's...
That's a human. You know what? Can I get deep for a moment?
Please.
Can I get deep? When I went to after I got divorced, I went to therapy and I started studying like Buddhism, and I read The Power Now and The Sedona Method and all these different books. And one of, they talk specifically about that. The Power Now deals specifically with there is no, like your issues for the next quarter, for a quarter of that year, they're not real. Those are in your head. You're making those problems for yourself. Yep. That's not a real issue. You're creating all that drama for yourself. So why not let it go and just be in the now, be in the moment, be right here? Which is, it took me forever to get to that point. Because I stressed about everything from bills to, you know, and then I had kids. I'm like, I got private school coming in 6 months from now. Then Ann's got high school and all these things that made me crazy. But I learned, I'm telling you, I was a mess, dude. I was a mess. But until I learned to really let things go and just realize, you know, everything's okay. Everything's okay right now. Whatever happens tomorrow is going to happen. As long as I do the best every day I can and I'm responsible as a human being, that's good enough for me.
That's what I'm really, and we've talked about this a lot on the show. I get in that mindset. I just can't keep myself in that mindset. That's my problem.
It's because you got to work on it. Have you read either of those books?
No.
Read The Power Now.
Power of Now?
Read The Power Now. I'll tell you. It's a really good book.
Can I read it, though, The Power of Later?
You could read it later. You could read The Power of Later as well. I believe it's a sequel.
Is it? Then there was The Power of Before. Subtitle, this should have come out first.
Power of Sorry, we stand corrected.
No, that's so you're in a healthy place now.
I'm in a much better place than I was, you know, a year or two ago, man. I'm in a really good mood. I'm really happy.
Good, man. That's
about a lot of things. And it's like, and I had like, you know, and I got my own, like, I had really bad financial news today. And I was like, whatever. That's okay. Well, that's good, there's nothing I can do about it. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, a year ago, I'd be walking around, I'd be miserable right now. I'd be bitching about the world, you know. But yeah, it's helped me. I feel good, man. Better than I've felt in years, I'll be honest with you.
That's fucking great, man.
Yeah.
Well, you're a good guy. You deserve to feel
better. Thanks, man. That's what I said.
And can I ask you about the divorce?
Yeah, ask anything you want.
Because honestly, I mean, I knew that last time we spoke, and this was a while ago that you and I talked about. Actually, I'll tell you exactly when it was when I think we were talking about it. It's when you came up on stage with Skippy as Santa Claus.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God. That was awesome. I remember that. That was great.
Actually, to those listening, you could see this clip on my website and Skippy's website. It's called GBX. GBX is the name of the song, and Lenny plays Santa Claus on this live version of it. But I remember you were saying that you guys were going through some trouble at the time. I think you were still together at the time.
Yeah.
And
well, it was right. It was a mess. I didn't want the divorce. She filed. And the first year, I was a blithering mess, dude. I mean, I was full of scotch and cigarettes and not happy and miserable. And I mean, I was really a mess. But, you know, and I went to therapy for like 2 years. And then we were back and forth for a couple of years. And in the end, you know, it was just, you know, it just, you know, it happens. People grow apart. You know, I think.
Is that essentially what happened?
I think that's a lot of what happened. Yeah. I think that, you know, the therapy that I went through after the divorce made me realize that the marriage was not as healthy as I thought it was. And that there were a lot of codependencies in the relationship. And we tried to fix them, and we couldn't. You know, there's no way to go back. But it was like, yeah, you know, I was able to look back at the marriage and realize. I mean, I thought I was really happy being married, but then I realized I wasn't really that happy. And I was substituting happiness for trying to make someone happy and trying to do things that I thought were right. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but the true mark of happiness is to be happy about yourself first, and you know, that's number one.
Yeah.
Because if that happens, then everything else around you, it just happens. Relationships, friends, all that stuff, shit, business, work, whatever, it just happens. But if you're constantly worried about yourself, you carry that aura with you, and it affects your decision-making, it affects what you do, you know, and you walk around just this miserable curmudgeon, you know, on some level, constantly worried about or not happy with whatever it is, your weight, your act, you're not happy where you're at, I don't have enough TV auditions, I don't have enough of this, I mean, there's a million things. We could sit here all day, look at each other, and point out shit about ourselves that we're not happy about, but, you know, you are who you are, and until you're at a point where you're happy with that, and you do the best you can to improve every day, you're not gonna get anywhere. And it took me a while to realize. Anyway, it took me a while to realize that that's where I was at. I wasn't as happy as I thought I was. Because after about a year or two of therapy, we tried to work it out. And then I was the one that said, I don't think this is going to work.
Really?
You know, yeah. And then the big thing for the last year was the whole move to Chicago thing, which just happened. And that I tried to keep that from happening for a long time. And I didn't think it was a good idea. But they did leave in June, and I talked to the kids today. They started school, their new school, and I go out and see them a lot. I just saw them for 2 weeks. I'm going back for Labor Day, you know. So it sucks that they're away because that was such a big part of the kids' lives. I saw them 3 or 4 days a week, you know, and during the school year, I didn't travel that much. I did most of my traveling during the summer, and the winner. But, you know, it is what it is. So we've made the best of it, you know. And I hope my ex, you know, I don't hate her. I hope she's happy. I hope she finally finds whatever it is that's going to make her happy. She's living, she moved back home to the Illinois or the Chicago area. She's going to go to school, hopefully, to be a nurse's or a doctor's assistant, which is something she's always hoped for.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so hopefully, you know, I hope all that stuff falls into place for her. I hope she ends up being really happy.
I think that's a really good attitude, man.
Yeah.
Because she was a very nice person.
We had great years, you know. I mean, like any marriage. I'd...
Awful fuck. Yeah. But like a really nice. Sorry. Just trying to. Hey, lighten. And the girls are doing all right.
Girls are great. Yeah, they're awesome now, man. And plus, it's better for them. You know, they knew, you know, when we were fighting, kids know. Like, I grew up, my parents were divorced. And it wasn't pretty. And I knew it. You know what I mean? I knew it was a mess. So you kids are smarter than you think they are. So when you're like this whole concept of we're gonna stay together for the kids, mm-hmm. that's bullshit. That's not a good excuse.
Kids can feel it.
Yeah, absolutely they can. Yeah. And then they carry that into their adult relationships, and now their relationships are a fucking train wreck, and they can't get the right marriage down or kids, and then they fuck up their kids, and it's a chain reaction that just never goes away. And that's that's the result of our society now. It's where so many people have ended up.
Because they've stuck together when they shouldn't have.
Yeah, and it's not staying together for the sake of the kids doesn't really help anyone. A lot of people stay together now because they can't afford to get divorced. I mean, a lot of people are in that situation. And this economy, it makes sense. I know people that still live together and they're divorced. And
that's a good thing about me and Allison. If we split up, like, there is nothing. Like, there's no money. So it's like, let's get divorced and you take nothing, I'll keep nothing, and we're good.
So yeah, it's good, because we had the kids was the only thing. We didn't have anything either, but we had the kids. And that's what made the whole divorce very expensive and crazy.
So it wasn't like a mutual thing as far as...
It was, first it was, you know, it was custody, and then it was, then the move to Chicago thing was the big thing. First she wasn't going to move, then she wasn't. Then she filed a move away motion, which cost me, then anytime you do this, now you got to go in and show the judge what kind of father you are, which includes showing him your income, which from our line of work, you know, if you walk in with all your W-2s and 1099s, how many is that? You know, well, think about how much it costs a lawyer to go through all your shit, put it together into a package and for a presentation for the lawyer. You know what I mean? It's pricey. It's crazy.
Wow.
I mean, that alone cost me 11 grand, I think, 12 grand.
Jeez.
That was the back end of the divorce. That was the last part of last year.
Wow. You know,
and then up to that point, I'd already spent maybe 20. So, I mean, yeah, the whole divorce cost me. It was a lot.
Well, we just have cats. She can keep them.
Yeah, just split up the cats nice and evenly.
Down the middle.
Yeah, down the middle with the old, no.
She cat just looked at
Lenny. She just looked at me and opened her mouth when you made that noise. That's how creepy that was.
Oh, you want to, where's the other one? Will literally, she hates when I sniff. Like, sniffle, like, she will literally look at me and go,
why? What? That's hilarious. That's her pet peeve?
Yeah. But it's. I guess it's almost like nails on a chalkboard to her.
For her? Oh, that's hilarious.
Sometimes if I hate her, I'll just, she's like,
oh, this house must suck if you have a cold. That's going to be terrible.
Well, I have allergies, and I'm allergic to cats, so it happens a lot.
So she's feeding the whole thing.
She really is. It's cyclical.
It's really her fault if you think about it.
It is.
Makes sense.
It's funny. I go to a lung doctor, because my asthma's like acted up over the past couple of years. And my doctors, they did a blood test and they go, "Well, you're highly allergic to cats." And I said, "I have two." And the doctor said, "You need to get rid of them." And I said, "My wife will sooner get rid of me." So the compromise is the cats are not allowed in the bedroom anymore.
That's your compromise. Does that work? Can you sleep?
I sleep better. Yeah, because I'm like, dude, I woke up like with this, like just constriction in my. In my lungs, I couldn't breathe.
Really?
Yeah, it's fucking scary, man.
Wow, I'm surprised just the door is good enough to fight that off. You know what I mean?
You know what it is? Because lucky, but these cats don't shed.
Yeah.
So it's only when they're in there and they're
sleeping. Are they science projects, these cats? They don't shed?
They don't. They really don't. So I guess we got lucky.
Yeah,
my wife had them before I even met her. So again, they're her kids.
Yeah, right.
But we'll switch up. Switch up the subject, try to get to something a little more wacky. Want to get wacky?
Let's get wacky. What do you have? What do you got? Throw it out.
Well, actually, I was going to talk about Skippy Green. Because for those... in case you haven't... By the way, in case you haven't guessed, people, my guess is... But I fucked that up. In case you haven't guessed, my guest... Oh, yeah. I had that...
Oh, it's a back-to-back.
In case you haven't guessed, my guest.
Weird.
Yeah. Lenny Schmidt. incredibly funny comic. Recently single, ladies.
Hello.
Are you seeing anybody, by the way?
No.
Any cruise hookups?
I'm not at liberty, really, to discuss. We're not supposed to. You can't hook up with a guest. That's in the contract.
Really?
Specifically. They're very strict about that.
Really?
So you're limited to crew and staff. And, yes, I've met some really nice crew and staff people.
Nice.
I've spent some time with in the Caribbean.
Wait a minute. You're not supposed to hook up with a guest?
No.
Is that just for entertainers? Is that for anybody on the cruise?
That's for anybody that works for the company, period.
Okay, that's funny. Because I remember when I was a kid, we used to go on cruises all the time because we lived in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
And I swear to God.
This could be a horrible story.
Well, it's not a horrible story. It's just, when you said that, it just reminded me of this. We were on a cruise, and we were sitting, you know, like when you're in the dining room as a guest, they just put you at a table. If you're not a big party, they'll sometimes put you with other guests.
Yeah, for the main dinner and
stuff. Exactly. Right. So we sat at the table with like two other groups of people, and one of them was this older woman. I mean, by that, it seemed older to me. She was probably in her 40s at the time. I was like 16. And she, like the maitre d' or somebody in the dining room, they had something going on. Because I remember he used to come to the table all the time, give us, you know, champagne, and always talk to her like, you doing okay? You doing okay?
Sweet.
And I think even I said something to her like, he seems to like you. And she goes, oh, you think? So he broke some moves.
When was it? How long ago was this?
Well, you were a kid. I was 16. So it was maybe four years ago.
Okay.
4 years ago.
Well, they changed all their rules. It used to be, from what I understand, of course, I missed this boat. It used to be a party on a ship. The crew was downstairs and they were smoking pot, and it was just, you know, it was people having, crew members having sex in the hallways. I mean, it was just chaos. And the crew would always sleep with the guests. And it used to be Love Boat. Remember Love Boat where Julie hooked up with somebody every cruise or something?
Yeah.
Or Gopher. Gopher was hit on every woman on the cruise.
He would go for it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that used to happen all the time. And then they made this strict rule that you couldn't hook up with the guests. And they've fired comics. Comics have gotten fired for it. Oh, you want to hear a great story?
Yeah.
Oh, this is sweet. I don't know if I should mention this comic's name. In fact, I don't think I will.
Wait, I'll mute your mic so you can tell me. You ready? Okay. That's the guy who was going to book me on cruises.
Is it really?
Yes.
Okay, great. All right, here's the story.
I think I know this story.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah, but you can
all right, I'll tell the story. I got 3 weeks of work out of this, by the way. This is how I got. They called me when he got fired. Anyway,
you're the guy they called.
Yeah, they called me immediately. They go, can you cover these weeks? I go, yeah, sure. What happened? No, don't ask any questions. Just show up. So I go, and here's what happened. He was doing a show, and there's a girl at the show. She was younger. She was her early 20s, maybe. Real early 20s. And she was really into him, and they met at the bar, and they were talking and stuff, and, you know, one thing led to another, and she came to every show, and I guess she was kind of into him, and he didn't really do anything about it right away, but then the last show, they hooked up in the bar, they ended up going downstairs to his cabin, so they're in the cabin, and, they're doing it, and the mom says, hey, I don't know where my daughter is, and she goes to the front desk, talks to security, and they go, well, where did you see her last? Well, I saw her with the comic. And they go, let me check. Now, security knows, pretty much has a good idea what's going on. So they call him immediately in his cabin to find out what's going on. Problem is, he's not answering the phone because he's in the middle of having sex with this girl. So he just goes right through, which, by the way, here's a tip for you. If the phone rings at 2 a.m. and you're having sex, answer the phone. Because there's trouble. There's problem somewhere.
You got trouble, right?
It is not, especially if you're on a ship and you're not supposed to be having sex with a guest. Grab, because no one's calling you at 2 a.m. to make sure you're okay. Answer the phone. So he just goes right through and keeps having sex. Well, by the time he's done, security shows up at his door, knock, 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 and they open the door, and he's standing there, and they go, is so-and-so here in this cabin? He goes, no, there's no one in the cabin with me. Unfortunately, her clothes are still on the floor by the bed. So the security walk, and they can walk right in. They walk right in and search your shit. That's what they do in the ships. They can do anything. I mean, security is like, I mean, it's not really like the U.S. in a lot of ways. They just walk on, search your shit, and they'll kick you off immediately. They've kicked guys off in the middle of Bahamas. They do it all the time. You know, so they walk on the ship, open up the closet, bing, and there she is right there naked, hiding in the closet. So she gets her clothes, she leaves, and then he goes to bed. Security doesn't really say anything about it. The next day, they get off the port, and they're walking around, and he goes, hey, nobody reprimanded him. He didn't get any trouble or anything. He says, hey, maybe I got away with this. This isn't so bad. And then when you do the ship, you come back to Miami, and then you're reloading to go back out. Right? So that's how you work one full cruise. That way the guests see you at the beginning and other comics at the end.
Right.
Whatever. So when he comes back to Miami, they fire him that day. So when they got back to where you're fired, and he's like, oh, shit, I thought I got away with it, and he didn't. So they sent him out, and, yeah, he I picked up 2 or 3 weeks of work off of it. I don't know if he's back on the ships. I'm not sure, but that was the story that went around.
Yeah, I know that guy. That's
I never met him, so I've talked to him online. Like, we have a website, or we have news Facebook groups.
Okay.
The cruise comics and stuff, and the entertainers. So we talk back and forth with other comics, so we know what's going on with the cruise ships and shit.
Yeah, I'd heard that story through the grapevine from a couple different people. And yeah, he's the one who initially said, I could probably get you on some cruises.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why it hasn't happened.
Maybe that's why. I'm pretty sure that's exactly why it hasn't happened. He's lost a little bit of his
weight. I actually remember when one of the last cruises I took with my family when I was... So I can tell you exactly when this was. 2000.
Okay.
Is this cruise I went on right before I moved to L.A., and I almost hooked up with one of the entertainers. They took me down to their quarters.
Wow.
I guess that's not allowed anymore.
No, you can't go, no.
I even went in your cabin. I mean, nothing happened. I don't know why I didn't do anything with her. I think I was very shy. But she took me down there, man. So I guess that would be a no-no at this point.
It's a huge no-no. You got to have passes and all kinds of shit. Yeah, they're really strict on the ships now about all kinds of stuff.
Wow. Is that just Carnival, or is that all the ships?
I don't know, because, like I said, I don't work for the other ones, but Carnival is really, really strict, and you got to be in the good side of security. There's a lot of things you can't do. Even, you know, like, if you don't be late for a ship, yeah, you get drug tested on ships.
Do you?
Yeah, it's in the contract. So again, and you get random. So they'll go, it's time for you to have a drug test.
And what if you, on your off time when you were home, you smoked some weed?
Well, if you come up positive, they have the rights to fire you.
Really?
Yeah.
What if you have a medical marijuana card?
If they still have the right to fire you, because you're an independent contractor for the comics. You're an independent contractor. You're not an employer. It says in there you can't use it. You just specifically says you can't use any controlled substance. Marijuana is still a controlled substance. Yeah. So it gives them an out. And there's different stories. Like, I heard other people have told me that they don't really test or care about marijuana as much as some other stuff, you know.
So I couldn't do my meth if I went on.
Yeah, meth would be bad. Oxycontin or heroin. Heroin's
Nazis.
A negative. Yeah, they're very Nazis.
They're Nazis.
But my thing is, like, I just don't, I'm like, well, why risk it? You know what I mean? I follow every rule. And you can't, the second you get on security's bad side, dude, they'll remember it for the entire cruise. I mean, you know what, another big thing you should never do is show up late when you're at a port. Well, it's like, dude, that is the end of the fucking world. When if you says back on board by 9:30, if you show up at 9:35, they go, where were you been? Where you been? It's 9:35, and they're furious. And if you're like 20 minutes late or 30 minutes late, and that's even guests show up half hour late, and they think it's no big fucking deal. And they're like, you have no idea. We have to get approval to come out of this dock. We have to pay extra time to be in this port. We have, you know what I mean? It's you can't. If they say be back on deck or on board at a certain time, you got to be there.
Have they? Do you know if they've ever left somebody at a port?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they've left a few. They've left a few people. Yeah, I've almost missed. Well, they didn't really leave me. I've almost missed a ship. And that was like, it was one of these gigs where, because the flying is really iffy because the hurricanes have a lot to do with the ships.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're flying out there and there's a storm or tropical storm or hurricane, sometimes the ships are diverted or the flights are diverted or whatever. One day I get into, I can't remember where it was, but I knew I had a short window when I got in, and I told the people at the corporate office, I go, are they going to wait for me? Because I got a short window to get from the airport to the port or to the ship. And they go,
like,
yeah.
How long?
I had maybe an hour.
And where was this?
This, I can't remember. It was like... It wasn't Belize. It was in San Martin, maybe, or okay. Something. I'm not sure, but it was. I had maybe an hour, and then we got delayed taking off, so I had 40 minutes when I landed. So, and then I landed, got off the plane. By the time I got my cab, got over there, they were supposed to be leaving. I got there right when they were supposed to leave, and I pulled up to the security. And you're supposed to, when you come in, you got to have your passport, you go through customs, all this stuff, and they got to check your bags. And I walked up, and they go, they're leaving. I go, well, I know they are, but I'm here. They go, no, they're up, anchors up, and they're going. And I'm like, oh, shit, are you serious? So they put me on this cart and drive me up and literally open the door as the ship's getting ready to leave and let me get on the ship. And they're like, where have you been? I go, I just landed. I go, I came right here from the airport. You know what I mean? And they go, you're late. I go, I know I'm late, but they didn't give me much time to connect. And that's a different scenario because it's not like I got off the ship and knew when to be back.
Right.
You know what I mean? But they don't like stick around waiting, man.
Wow. That's got to be stressful, man. Because like I've had those like just near, God, I've run with asthma, like barely catching my breath, it's the worst, man.
The last time I was in, I want to say Tampa, I had to run from one end of the airport to the other, and I missed the flight. And I was furious. And then I got there, and I'm trying to explain to him. You know, and I told him when I got in, I'm like, are they going to wait? And they go, yeah, they'll wait. Okay. And I, but I'm running, and it was just, it wasn't good.
I was in Denver. Actually, not too long ago.
I hate Denver. That airport's one long airport.
It's
so if you're on
too.
One end of it and you got to get to the other end, you're screwed.
You're fucked.
It's like three football fields.
Yeah. It was a short window of time, and if, you know, my initial flight was delayed, and they said, you know, they'll wait for you as long as they can. Ran. I get there, plane's gone. And I said, what? And they go, sorry, the plane, you know, they're already taken off. And I had to fucking spend the night in Denver. In the airport.
Did you? Oh, that sucks.
I just, you know, ironically though, like I was so pissed, but I found like this little kind of, there's almost like, you know, those little places where you can set up a laptop.
Yeah.
I found like a little nook there to sleep under that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
There was a pillow there.
You're kidding me.
There was a fucking pillow in the airport just sitting there. So I took out one of my shirts. I put it on like a pillowcase and.
That's paying it forward, buddy. That's that what
is,
that is.
That is some good karma is what that is. Yeah. I thought it was. Of all the shitty situations, there was that one bit of like mint in a shit.
You're like, a pillow.
At least I have a pillow. Yeah. I don't think I even slept, but it was nice to at least.
I've never had to spend the night in an airport. I remember in my early years, I used to take Greyhound everywhere. Do you remember when Greyhound was like $11 to go anywhere?
And I remember that.
Okay. Well, I would hate it. I don't know why. I would take it once a year. And then I would swear it off, and I'm like, I'm never taking it again. Because I used to work out of Seattle a lot. And if I was coming, I used to live in Chicago, Seattle, and L.A., and I would rotate and then work out of those regions. You know what I mean? So I worked Seattle.
Oh, so you had a place in Seattle, too?
Yeah, I lived with a friend of mine, Kelly Moran, who's a comic that lived in West Seattle.
Oh, I know Kelly.
He passed away a few years ago.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Huge
memorial for him, or it's a memorial for him at the Comedy Store. But he's one of the guys, I kind of started out with him in Orange County down here.
Okay.
So he had a place there. And I used to stay with him, and then we'd go up and we'd work Tribble or Donna Richards and Stu Scott used to be up there in Canada for a while, some of that stuff,
okay.
The west coast of Canada. Anyway, I would take Greyhound from Chicago to Seattle. I'd be like, $11. And a year would go by, and I'd be like, it's $11. Shit, how do you say no to $11, man? You know what I mean? And then I'd get on 2 days into it. I'd be like, why the fuck am I taking? This is the worst. And one time I'm taking it, and we're going through. I remember exactly where it was. It's Wall, South Dakota. You know, you never been to Wall Drug?
No,
really? All right. It's the largest drugstore in the country, and it's the biggest tourist attraction in that area. Wall, South Dakota, is all about Wall Drug. It's like if you drive the 90 freeway anywhere in this country, sometimes you'll see a sign that says Seattle 50 miles, Tacoma 80 miles, Wall Drug 1,347 miles. It's like that's your hook, because they do it all over in different places.
Wow.
So we're in Wall, and we have a stop, a Greyhound stop, and we're getting pounded with snow, just fucking pounded, right?
Getting what?
Pounded.
Oh, okay.
Just pounded, just tons of snow in South Dakota there, in the bus, and I'm like, this is a nightmare. And I'm like, you know what? We're not going. We're not going to get out of here. There's no way we're getting out of here. And I went over to the hotel and literally booked the last room in town, the last fucking room. And as I walked out, there were 18 people walking my way. And they were like, we're not leaving. I go, I thought so. I go, they're booked. And I just turned around and I grabbed my shit. And they all slept on the fucking bus all night. Yeah. And I slept in my room. I was the happiest guy.
Oh, that's, dude, that's good. That's timing.
I was so lucky. It's like one of those moments. There's like 8 moments in my life where I'm like, that was a perfect day.
Yeah.
I couldn't have planned that any better.
You know what? I guess I'm lucky I never had to bus it. I never like did a long bus drive. When I was doing the road, I would be in my car, you know, and I'd pull over at the hotels and whatever. But I never. I remember the Greyhound stories.
Yeah.
But I never had to Greyhound.
Yeah, they were horrible, man. Lucky, man. I got caught in the middle of a knife fight in Oakland, and
what?
I mean, it wasn't a lot of.
What happened there?
Well, we were getting off in Oakland. It was one of the big bus stops, one of the big flips, and we get off, and I hear these people are fighting, and it's these two girls, and you bitch, I'm gonna cut you, you fucking bitch, and one of them walks past me. We're on the bus, right, and one of them is to my right to the back of the bus. One of them now is to my left to the front of the bus, and I just want to get out. I can't get out now because they're fighting, so I'm waiting for them to finish their shit. And then I'll cut you. They both pull knives. And now I realize I'm like, fuck, I'm right in the middle of a fucking knife fight. And they go at each other. And I just back up against the window. And they just start swinging and hitting. And cops rush the bus. And they drag them both off. And they're gone. There's blood all over the place. And I'm just standing there fucking. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm good. Just walk up the bus.
As they're getting pulled out. By the way, I'll be at the Chuckle Hut.
Yeah. Hey, you guys want to buy a CD?
would you say is like your the most fucked up road story, like in a club or one night or something?
That's easy. It was Mission, South Dakota. I was working with my brother Mike, and Mike was opening. Mike was a two-man show, so Mike was doing the 30, I was doing the hour. We used to work these runs in South Dakota all the time. When him and I worked on the road together constantly, and it was for a guy named Jeff Connor, and he used to book stuff out of the South Dakota or the Dakotas, and he had a terrible reputation for pay and all kinds of stuff, and but he but this guy never screwed me over money wise. He kind of fucked Mike a little bit, you know. Mike got stuck, like he had a hotel in Sioux Falls where the guys would stay over to crash, and Mike got stuck there for weeks because he would always be like, I'll pay you next week. And it took Mike forever to get out of that hotel. He's got great stories about staying there. But him and I were in Mission, and the way Jeff used to do it was you would do a bunch of gigs, you do all the shit gigs, and then you do the good weekend gig, and then you pick up money the following week at one of the shit gigs. So that's how you did it. So you do a 3-week run, and I was supposed to pick up like $1,400 or $1,600, and Mike and I are taps. You know, we're living on the road. I mean, I'm driving that old Chevy. I don't know if you ever saw it, but it was gone. It was back in Illinois.
I can imagine it, though.
It was old. I bought it for $300.
Oh, beautiful.
And put 200,000 miles on it. I mean, it was a road car. You know, it just
totally.
And I literally watched that car burn to the ground, which was another story. But Mike and I were in Mission, South Dakota. We're supposed to pick up all this cash, and it turns out it's this Indian reservation. And it's just the smallest shit bar you can possibly think of. There's like 3 or 4 guys in there. That's it. 3 or 4 guys. And they're none of them, I'm not even playing around. Like 2 of them have teeth. 2 of them don't have teeth. They're drunk. There's drunk Native Indians, drunk the whole deal there. The bar, it's just this creepy, shitty fucking gig. Mike goes up to a half an hour, and they're just a pain in the ass. All they do is yell. They don't watch, they don't laugh. They just yell at you. They just fucking yell at you like you're a sideshow.
Yep.
So Mike finishes his time. So I go up, and I'm just fucking with him. I try my act. I talk to him or whatever. I'm trying to get through the hour. And finally, at 45-minute mark, I go, this is bullshit. I can't. You know what, guys? All right. Good night. That's my time. I'll see you guys later. So I walk off. I go to the bartender. Mike and I stand by the bartender. And I go, all right, well, I did 50 minutes. I go, that's pretty close, man. What do we get our money and get out of here? And the guy goes, you owe me 10 minutes. And I go, what do you mean? He goes, you owe me 10 minutes. And I go, dude, they're not even watching the fucking show at this point. They're yelling. There was a guy, no shit, guy went out and brought a gun in, was cleaning his gun in the fucking show.
Whoa.
I'm not even making, this dude has got every cliche you could possibly think of
right.
in this gig. So I got to go back on stage and do another 10 minutes before I can get my $1,600 or whatever money was. So now I do my time. I get off, I get my money. We leave, and I'm drunk, by the way. I'm hammered. Mike hated working the road with me back then because he never drank. I drank like a fucking maniac, and he basically drove me around everywhere. I get drunk and act shitty, and he hated it. And now this gig both sucked for both of us, and we're going through a Taco John's, which is the big Taco Bell joint type place there, to get food and go back to the hotel just so we can crash. And now the lights are on, and we go to the drive-thru, and they go, hey, we're closed. This is after the gig. Mm-hmm. They go, we're closed. And I'm drunk, and I go, well, we'll turn off your fucking lights then. And Mike drives away, and as we drive away, 2 guys run out and get in the car and follow us.
Whoa.
And Mike and I just go back to the hotel, get our shit, and leave and go to the next town. We didn't stay in the hotel. You know what I mean? We didn't take any. Plus, we had $1,600 on us.
Right.
Everybody in this town, especially when you do small towns, everybody knows you're the comic, and you got $1,600 in your pocket. Because that's the deal.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of stories of guys getting robbed like that.
By the way, who's booking that now?
I'm doing it next week. Do you want to come and open
with
me?
Yeah, I would love to, man. Would love to see No Tooth Johnny.
They're great. But it was horrible. It was like there wasn't one redeeming moment about that gig. Except we got the money. And that was it.
At least you got the money.
We did get the money. I was surprised.
Was it cash?
It was cash. I was completely surprised. I thought we were going to get screwed royally, but the guy handed me a big fat envelope of cash. And we said, all right, thanks, see you later.
I love that, like, you owe me 10 minutes.
Yeah, he wasn't going to
You get
me
up there, I want to hear background noise for 10 more minutes. That's what I'm paying you for.
And they didn't listen to shit. All they did was yell at me.
Oh.
You know? I mean, it was horrible.
You know, those are the ones that, like, it's funny. I did Ontario last night. I did the improv.
Oh, okay.
There. By the way, happy belated birthday to Mike Cano. Thanks for having me on the show. And it was packed. I mean, like, to the gills, sold out packed. Hot crowd. Like, one of those that are just like, It's like if I did heroin, I would imagine that's what heroin felt like, just that warm embrace from a crowd.
That's exactly what it feels like, Flip.
Is it? Oh, good. But I've had so many of those other ones, and I was talking to a young comic who was on the show, and I said, you know what, the show that we had tonight make the shitty, all the other shitty shows that we have to deal with worth it.
Right.
You know?
Right,
Because I've had so many of those, like, God, I'm trying to think of One of my first kind of gigs at Andy, Drew Dorfman,
right.
Put me on in South Florida was an Indian reservation at the old Seminole reservation somewhere. And I just remember drunk Indians. And I was, God, I must have been about 23, 24, very young, still very green in the business. And I'm trying to do my, hey, I'm Flip, welcome to my show. And
you fucking suck. Fuck yeah.
And I remember my dad and my brother were there to see it.
Oh, no, dude. That's horrible.
And I remember at one point, like, one of the guys at the bar, who I guess was on the, the council or whatever on the Indian reservation, the guys who were important.
Right.
You know, not just the regular drunks, but the drunks who have clout. And he's like, stood up and started to walk up toward the stage. And I remember my dad, not an intimidating guy. He looks like me, has my kind of physique. But I remember him standing up, like, if you go near him. Actually, it'd be more like, if you go near my boy. And it was.
Let me tell you,
my friend, you will not get a deal on bagels in this town. But yeah, I remember all of those shit gigs. But then every so often you hit that just fucking gem that you go, that's worth it.
You know what's just as good as that, or even better maybe, is the gig you think is going to be a nightmare and it turns out to destroy.
100%.
I did a gig in Terre Haute, Indiana. It was a place called Larry Bird's, and it was a sports bar that his brother owned.
Okay.
And it was a hotel, and it was Larry Bird was everywhere. There were pictures of him everywhere. Their shower curtains had a picture of Larry Bird. This is very weird.
Wow.
But when I got there, it's a college town, and when I got there, they go, it's a big room. I walk in day, you know, checking in. Hey, what's up? I'm here, blah, blah, blah. I go, what time? They go, it's all college kids. I go, oh, great. Well, how much you charge? He's like, oh, there's no cover. I go, oh, are you serious? You got to be kidding me. There's no room full of college kids, and there's no cover? They go, yeah, we do it all the time. I go, oh, that's great. So I go back to my room. I'm like, this is going to blow. Just it's going to suck. And I came back, and it was just fucking awesome. It was they were into everything. It was like no unpaid room I had ever seen in my life.
Wow, it's just a completely like perfect paper.
Yeah,
room.
And it was like, and I was expecting walking in the door even before we started. I was like, there's so many people here. This is going to suck. You know what I mean? It's just, I thought the whole thing was just going to blow, but it just destroyed. It was so much fun. It was great.
You're right. Those are the best. Yeah. I think I'd rather like those a little better than when you walk into a room going, oh, this is going to be great, and it is. As opposed to walking and going, oh, this is going to suck, and then it turns out to be great. It's like, it's almost like Christmas.
Well, I try not to have expectations about anything anymore because those set you up for more. Every time I go, this is going to kill or this is going to be great, it's never as good as I think it's going to be because I expect it to be so great. You know what I mean? It never meets my expectations. So I just go in there, you know, I just go in and go, well, I'm going to do whatever. You know what I mean? I'm going to do my thing and have fun. And then I try to focus on that.
Do you find like now, can I ask, just back, are you talking about the divorce and everything in your acting?
Oh, yeah. I do a ton of shit. It's all about, not all of it, but I do a big part about divorce, a part about, and now I'm doing a bit now that's I just worked on that I'll probably do at the show tonight is a bit about the kids moving, my relationship with the kids,
cool.
How that's changed, a little bit of me dating now, how that's kind of different after being married for 15 years.
Dude, I love hearing that.
Yeah, so it's a lot of, you know, my shit evolves and it's always evolved around my life.
Well, that's how it should be, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a ton of shit. And I'm bringing a lot of my shit up there. So it's all about the divorce and the kids and how my life has changed. A lot of it is about therapy and how I handle things differently now.
That's great,
man. You know what I mean?
Because I know a lot of guys, especially that, like I said, that get caught on the cruises, they kind of have their act and it does not evolve, you know? And number one, I don't know how that comic
do that. I don't know
how
they do that either. Well, you know what? Do you know Mike Lucas?
Yeah.
All right. He's real tall, bald guy.
Yeah, bald guy, yeah.
He's from Cleveland. He was out here for a while. He did a radio gig. He's back in Cleveland now.
Okay.
But he's working on cruise ships. And I ended up, this is great. I did 2 weeks in a row with guys I knew, not only knew, but respected as comics. It was so much fun.
That's
it was
great.
So cool. It was him 1 week, Dan Chopin the second, who's a guy out of St. Louis.
I don't know Dan.
Well, I was working with Lucas, and one of the things he pointed out, which I always believe in, is we write a lot on the ships. Because every bit you write on the ship, you write it with the intent of doing it in a club on land. You have to do that.
Right.
Because that way you're building your material. If you're writing, you can do ship stuff, that's fine. And you can even wing it, you can even throw it out there, that's fine. But don't spend a lot of time working on material that's ship stuff. Nobody gives a shit about that stuff anywhere else but a ship.
Right.
It's not going to help you anywhere. So that's why every new joke and everything I do, it's got nothing to do with being on a ship.
That's great.
Most of the ship stuff comes off the top of my head. And I'll go, oh, good, I'll keep that. You know what I mean? But I'll never sit down and write a bit about being on a fucking ship.
That's fucking great, man. By the way, speaking of being kind of shippy, you like that? It's now time for a part of the show called The Skippy Green Show.
Oh, sweet!
It's The Skippy Green Show!
Lenny Schmidt.
Skippy!
Lenny.
I haven't seen you in forever. How are you, buddy?
Oh, my God. I'm great. God, the last time I saw you, holy shit, we were doing the Christmas song.
Yeah, the Christmas song. Remember?
Not the thing at the improv. We were drunk on schnapps, and you were blowing a reindeer. But I digress.
It was a good holiday season.
It was a great holiday. Boy, the holiday season couldn't come fast enough.
No, it couldn't. You look good, man. You been working out?
Yeah, I've been fucking your mother. All right.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll text her right now, see how she's doing. Is she okay?
She's destroyed.
Oh, she's destroyed.
All right, Lenny, here's how this works. I'm going to ask you a question, and you got to answer this question in 10 words exactly.
No, shit.
Not 11, not 9, 10. I'll count it for
more research.
You. I'll use the fingers, okay. Which is what I said to your mother. All right. Answer this question 10 words exactly. If you could fuck any staff member of the cruise, what department would it be and why?
Oh, man. Let's see. Any staff member from the cruise, what department and why?
Just what department and why?
It would be from the MSA, because they bored me.
And you bored them.
It's the Skippy Green Show.
Oh, it was great, man.
I love Skippy.
Skippy loves you, man. Lenny, where can people find you?
LennySchmidt.com, man.
That's S-C-H-M-I-D-T?
Yeah, D-T. And go there now. I've been working on, like me on Facebook. You can do that. My Twitter's Mr. Lenny Schmidt.
Mr. Lenny
at
Schmidt.
Mr. Lenny
at
Schmidt.
Mr. Lenny Schmidt.
Somebody has Lenny Schmidt, apparently.
What the fuck?
I don't know who it is, but I wasn't very happy about it. I don't see him out there anywhere.
No.
I'm following him. Don't get any tweets from him. Fucker.
I like Mr. Lenny Schmidt.
There you go. I like that. Yes. So, yeah, you can do that. And then this is going to
go up a week from yesterday. So that would be the 28th.
Oh.
That's today. You guys are listening to this today.
Sweet.
On the 28th.
On the 28th. Great. Well, then in that case, I have no upcoming local gigs as of right now.
You'll be on the cruises?
I'll be on the ships in September. I'm doing the run out of Cabo. The weekend of the 15th, and I'm going back to the Bahamas at the end of the month.
Well, there you go. If you guys happen to be on the Carnival Cruise Lines around that time, go see Lenny Schmidt. And, guys, I don't have to keep giving you my shit. You know it by now. But I will anyway.
Do it.
Because I'm anal. FlipIsFunny.com, which we're doing podcast.com, at Flip Schultz on Twitter. Find me on Facebook. And the day this goes up, I am tonight at the Improv at Harrah's in Las Vegas. So if you're in Vegas this week, I am at the Harrah's Improv starting tonight, headlining tonight, tomorrow, and Thursday, and then featuring for the amazing Kevin Pollak on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So those are going to be amazing shows. Thank you guys so much. And even though she's not here, I'll give a plug for Allison. Her movie Epic came out last Tuesday. So go buy the movie. She's got a nice little part in it as one little ancillary character, but it's still very cool, and we get residuals. So help us out with that. You guys, thank you
for dinner. What's for dinner? What's for dinner?
God, apparently dinner's loud tonight.
Wow.
Sorry about that, guys. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Talking about what's ever on their minds.